Well, friends, today's topic is on the wonderful joy of prayer. And I wonder if you've ever taken the time to consider what it is about Christian prayer that makes it so effective. What is it that James speaks about in James chapter 5, verse 16, where he says, "The prayers of the righteous are powerful and they're effective for the achieving of good." Have you ever taken some time to think about prayer? What is it that makes prayer work? How does prayer draw you closer to God and bring you into God's will? And how does praying about things make a difference in the world around you and in what God is wanting to achieve in your life and in the lives of others? Well, in the next 30 minutes, we are going to discover some of these things as we go through this program, The Ministry and Me. And it's a joy to be with you again today. I'm your host, Dr. Dion Foster. And just to mention, if during the next half hour or at any stage during the day you want to contact someone at Radio Pulpit, maybe you'd like a prayer, or maybe you'd just like to speak to someone at the counseling line, then why don't you give us a call at the studios? The telephone number to dial is Pretoria dialing code 012, and the telephone number is 334-1200. I'll give you that number in a moment. It's Pretoria 012. And the telephone number is 334-1200. And then also just to say what a joy it is to hear from many listeners. I had so many emails over the last couple of weeks, and it's always a blessing to hear from you. Sometimes folks are emailed just to say hi or to ask for a particular prayer request. Sometimes it's to make a comment about a show. Someone picked up a mistake I made. Jan, thanks very much for that and for helping me write in that regard. But I always rejoice to hear from you. And please, by all means, if you would like to get hold of me, then why don't you drop me an email? You can reach me at digitaldion@gmail.com. That's digitaldion@gmail.com. And there are listeners from literally all over the world who have been dropping emails. People who've been tuning in via the internet on streaming, and others via DSTV, and of course, all of our regular listeners on 657 AM. Well, let's get into the topic for today, and let's talk a little bit about prayer. And I want to read a very interesting passage for you from Luke's Gospel, and it comes from Luke chapter 3, and I want to read from verses 21 to 23. Now, this is the account of the baptism of Jesus, and just to mention that there's a parallel passage to this. In other words, it appears in all three of the Synoptic Gospels. The one we're reading is from Luke 3, but you can also read Mark 1, 9 to 11, and we'll refer to that later, or Matthew 3, verses 13 to 17. But let's read what Luke says. Verse 21 of Luke 3 says, "When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form, like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, saying, 'You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased.' Now Jesus himself was about 30 years old when he began his ministry." And let's just read that far. Now, I have a wonderful little habit that I'm trying to teach my children the gift of prayer and how important it is. You know, so the moment we encounter anything in our lives, I always encourage them to pray. You know, my daughter was struggling with her mathematics at school, and I said, obviously we're going to spend some time working on your maths, but let's also pray and ask God to help you to figure this out and give you the energy to do it. With my little son Liam, he's only 3 years old, and he has some health struggles, and whenever he's sick, Megan and Courtney and I always get together and we pray for him. And he's got to the stage now when before we take him to the doctor, he always says, "Daddy, let's pray. Let's pray to Jesus." But I heard a wonderful little story of someone who was driving with his son in the car, and they were heading to McDonald's one day. And as they passed a car accident, it was their custom that whenever there was a problem, they would pray about that particular issue. And so there they were driving through to McDonald's, and there was a car accident. And the dad said, "Should we quickly pray for those people?" And from the back seat, he heard an earnest request from his little boy saying, "Please, God, don't let those cars block the entrance to McDonald's." Now that, my friends, is an honest prayer. And I think so few Christians understand the real power and blessing and potential that can come from a lifestyle of prayer. And so today I'm wanting to speak to you a little bit about that lifestyle. Now, many of us have come to think traditionally about prayer as only something that we do at specific times in our lives. And in fact, prayer is very, very misunderstood. It's perhaps one of the most precious and powerful gifts that we have as Christians, but so few of us really understand what the opportunities are. Now, I want to say, first of all, that prayer is not just about pressing a button and getting an answer to all of our problems. Prayer of that nature can be quite complex for God. You know, I often think about it when I watch two teams playing rugby and you see the guys praying, "Oh Lord, let our team win." And you know, there are people on the other side praying, "Lord, let our team win." Or I do lots of weddings as a minister and often hear the mother of the bride normally saying, "Lord, please bless us with good weather." And I know just down the road here in Stellenbosch, there are farmers saying, "Lord, please bless us with good rain." So you can imagine that for God, it must be quite a complex thing in order to work out what prayers to answer. And so the question that we're going to look at today is, what exactly is prayer? Well, there are a few things that we'll learn, and I hope that it's going to be a blessed and enriching time for you, and that at the end of this episode, you'll have some understanding. Some of the things that we're going to learn is that prayer is about more than just speaking. That's perhaps one of the first great misconceptions, is that prayer is only about talking to God. The second thing that we're going to learn is that prayer is a lifestyle. It's not just a moment. It's not just something you do at one particular time. The third thing that we'll learn about true Christian prayer is that very often it's sacrificial. It takes some effort to do it. But the one thing that is absolutely certain about Christian prayer and that defines it is that prayer is always about relationships, your relationship with God and your relationship with others. And so perhaps one of the greatest misconceptions about prayer is that it's about us having to change God's mind about things, almost like a child who nags their parents. Have you ever watched a boat coming into harbor and as it gets closer to the harbor, to the edge, the ship's men throw out a rope to the harbor so that it can be guided into safety? I remember a few years ago working with some missionaries with the Muslims traveling from Europe to North Africa and seeing these massive ferries coming in. And as the ferry was about to dock, they would throw in the guiding ropes. And as they would come closer, the ropes would guide the boat into the harbor. Now, ask yourself the question, as the boat comes into the harbor, is it the boat that's being pulled closer to the harbor, or is it the harbor that's being moved closer to the boat? Well, of course, the reality is that it's always the boat that gets pulled to the firmer foundation, that is the harbor. And prayer is a little bit like that. It has a lot more to do with the boat than it does have to do with the harbor. And prayer for us as Christians has a lot more to do with us than it has to do with God. God knows all things, and in prayer, we're engaging with God in a way that our lives are engaged and changed. And so I want to encourage you, as you take some time, why don't you consider developing just for the next few weeks, and I'd like to challenge you for the next 4 weeks, begin to apply some of the disciplines that we're going to learn about today and see how powerful prayer is at changing your life, at giving you a new perspective on living, new joy, new hope, and new blessing. So, the text that we read today is a remarkable one because it speaks about one of the most incredible events in the life of Jesus. Of course, it speaks about great humility, the fact that Jesus, the Son of God, is baptized by John the Baptist, but it also accentuates a few other things, as we'll see when we look at the story. Much like when you cut a diamond, suddenly all the different colors come through it as you hold it up to the light and you turn it. And the baptism of Jesus precedes his public ministry, and we read there in Luke chapter 3, verse 23, that Jesus is about 30 years of age when he begins his ministry. And just before this, Jesus is tested in the desert for 40 days to learn about his faithfulness to God. Now, Luke is the only one of the gospel writers who starts the account of Jesus' ministry by saying that he was praying. Notice that in Luke 3 verse 21, it starts with the word, "and as he was praying. In fact, if you read Luke's gospel account of Jesus' life, that you'll see that Luke is the one who often shows that before really big and important events, Jesus is always to be found praying. All of the changes in his life, for example, Luke 5:16, Luke 6:12, Luke 9:18, go and have a look at all of those. And we can see that Jesus had a very, very active prayer life. And I think that by looking at some of the aspects of Jesus' prayer life, we can learn something about prayer for ourselves. Now, here's the first question that I want to ask about the passage that we read today. Who is God speaking to in the passage? Now, this is the first interesting question that struck me as I read the passage about the baptism of Jesus. When you read Luke and the two parallel passages that we spoke about, remember I said that there's one in Mark 1, verse 9 to 11, and Matthew 3, verse 13 to 17, you'll see that there are some slight differences at the baptism of Jesus. It's not that Jesus is, that God is saying, "This is my son." In Luke's passage, and in Mark's account, it says, "You are my son." God is speaking to Jesus directly. Now, there was good reason for the change in emphasis amongst the gospel writers. The Jews in Jesus' time were waiting for the return of the promised Messiah who would come to save them. And so for Luke and for Matthew, the emphasis of the story is to convince the Jews that Jesus, who was being baptized in front of them, is the promised Son of God. And that's why in their accounts, God speaks directly to Jesus saying, "You are my son." Whereas Mark was writing to an audience of believing Romans, not Jews. And so the emphasis of Mark's account on this event is to show more Jesus' relationship with the Father. "You are my son," as opposed to it being about his divinity. "This is my son." And in reality, the emphasis was probably a bit of both of these accounts. That's what's so wonderful about the Bible. Now, what can we learn from these accounts? Well, there are a couple of things that we can learn about the prayer life of Jesus, and that it was intimate enough that Jesus could hear the voice of his Father affirming him, even encouraging and strengthening him, preparing him, even in the midst of a crowd of people. And there was a lot going on around him. And I don't know about you, but I sometimes struggle to hear the voice of God when I'm in crowds, when there's a lot of busyness around me. But there Jesus was, being baptized in the midst of a crowd of people, no doubt a great deal of excitement. And Jesus can hear the voice of God saying, "You are my son." Now, the first thing that we need to recognize is that it is God who says. Now, let me ask you, how intimate is your constant prayer life? Is your prayer life intimate enough? Is it something that you consistently do throughout the day, moment by moment, in every situation, in every place, constantly speaking with God, that when God speaks to you, you can hear God's voice amongst the many voices, amongst the commotion that you're in? Are you in tune enough with God throughout your day that you can honestly say, "In this situation, I heard God saying to me"? And friends, this is a very, very important thing. God has a very specific will and intention to engage with you, not just at certain times of the day, 15 minutes in the morning and 30 minutes at night when you choose to pray. God has a will for your driving, for your telephone calls. God has a will for the way in which you deal with your customers, your suppliers, your family, your children, your friends, how you spend your money. God has a will for everything. And you need to be intimately enough connected with God so that you can hear God's voice in all those situations. The second thing that we learn from this encounter is that Jesus, in his prayer life, realized that it was not only about him, and that the simple focus that we need to struggle with and the desire is to be constantly changed. Now, one of the most intimate moments of Jesus' prayer life is directed to the people amongst whom he is. Now, let me ask you, when last did you use your day as a backdrop for prayer? You know, there's a sense in which Jesus draws God into the lives of the people who are there at the river. And if it were not because of those people, because of Jesus' presence and faithfulness and prayer, the heavens may not have opened to those people who were present. And they may never have discovered the greatest gift that they would ever get, the gift of discovering the one who had come to save them. But because Jesus is orientated towards the people around him, and he's not just praying about changes in his own life, he's praying about the situations he's placed in during the day and the people he encounters. We read in the Bible that the heavens opened around him, and God comes down tangibly in the form of a dove and says, "This is my son." Now, let me ask you, when last did you pray on sight with insight? You know, I've made this a little discipline that as I walk into my office in the morning and walk past the receptionists and up the stairs and past the secretaries, that I pray for all of those people and the tasks that they'll face during the day. I pray for the places there, that our reception would be a welcoming place at the Power Group of Companies. When people come in there, Lord, may those who come in here be blessed. May they experience something different. May the people who answer the telephones greet them with joy and something special. And as I go through, I'm praying not only for myself, but I'm also praying for the place where I am. You know, friends, there's a wonderful blessing in making your day the backdrop to prayer. In that way, whether you're in a queue at the bank, or whether you're driving your car, or whether you're rushing to fetch your kids, no matter what you do, you always have an opportunity to bring God into the situation for the sake of others. And so the reality is that both have their place. The intimacy that we spoke about, where Jesus could hear God's voice for himself in the midst of the crowd, and also the opportunity to bring God's presence into your ordinary day so that God can change it. So, how effective is your intimate prayer life? Or is prayer simply something that you do for a little bit in the morning and maybe a little bit in the evening and maybe when there are one or two crises during the day? I want to encourage you to learn from Jesus and to bring prayer into every aspect of who you are and what you do. So that's the first question that we wanted to ask. Who is God speaking to? And we see God spoke both to Jesus and to the crowds. Now, the second question that we want to ask is, who is doing all of the praying? And this was the second question that came to mind as I read those three accounts of the baptism of Jesus. Who was doing all the praying? And I think we'd all agree that the most, at its most very basic form, prayer, or a definition of prayer, is communication with God. And I suppose that would mean that it's not only speaking to God, but also listening to God. That is what communication is. If I simply talk at my wife all day, all the time, and never give opportunities to listen to her, then, friends, that's not really effective communication. I can tell you that kind of communication isn't going to get very good, loving results. I need to spend as much, if not more, time listening to Megan as what I speak to her. And this is the next important thing that we learn about the intimate prayer life of Jesus. Jesus was willing to take the time simply to listen to God. Now, let me tell you, listening is a costly but valuable thing. Have you ever noticed how we and others don't listen to people that we don't value? People that irritate us. Have you watched your boss not listening to his workers, or someone not listening to the person that they don't respect, the person that bothers you at the traffic intersection who wants money or outside of the store? Isn't it just such a sad thing that our lack of listening communicates a lack of care and respect? But of course, people that we honor a great deal and value a great deal receive our attention. We stop what we're doing and we listen to what they have to say. Now, the question that I want to ask you today is, how has your listening to God communicated either value and love and respect for God, or sadly the opposite, a lack of value and disrespect? You see, the focus of Jesus' prayers, as we learn, is that Jesus was all about listening to God, getting closer to God, giving God the time and the space that God deserves in order to enter Jesus' life. You know, my friends, I need that in my life. I need an opportunity to draw near to God, to have God come and encounter me and speak to me and change who I am and what I do. And I want to ask you and encourage you to do the same. Out of love for God, give God the time that God deserves in order to speak into your life. And soon you'll find that prayer is actually a two-way street, that it's not only you praying to God, but listen to this, it might just be that God is speaking to you in prayer, as we read in the account today. Now, the final thing that I want to ask is the question, What was God saying to Jesus? Now, this is the next thing that I thought about as I was reading the passage. What exactly was God saying? Well, we've spoken about the words that God said, not only to Jesus, but also to John and the others around him, when God says, "This is," or "You are my son with whom I am well pleased." But the question I want to ask you is, have you ever received positive feedback for what you've done? Have you ever received that little compliment, that great blessing or encouragement from someone that builds you up? Those few blessed words that make your sacrifice and hard work worthwhile. You know, I've just finished writing a new book, and I'd encourage you to look out for it. It's called Transform Your Work Life: How to Turn Your Ordinary Day into an Extraordinary Calling. And as I've been writing the book, I've been sending it to the editor, and Graham Power and I have been working together on it. And it's just been so wonderful every now and then just to receive a little bit of a compliment, an encouragement from them to say, "Hey, Dion, I like the way you put this." Of course, there are many bits where they also had to say, "Hey, we need to change this." But boy, isn't it true, when you receive a little bit of encouragement, suddenly somehow you receive the energy and the power and the strength to face things and go on. Now, can you imagine hearing anything greater than God saying to you, "Dion, you are my son and I am pleased with you"? Just as God said to Jesus, "This is my son and I am pleased with him." Now, this active response in prayer, we will learn, is the link between what Jesus does and what he prays. You see, God doesn't only desire our religion and our faithfulness in religion. What God desires is our whole lives, that we would live a life that is so consistent in relationship with him and with others, that same tone of loving intention that we have in our prayers would begin to permeate the way in which we answer the phone and deal with people and face the crises of our day. Now, do yourself a favor and go and read Isaiah 58 verses 1 to 10 this week. And listen to this passage: "Your fasting ends in quarreling and strife, in striking each other with wicked fists. You cannot fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard on high." You see, what God wants is not religion, but true relationship. And when God says to Jesus, "I am pleased with you," it's not just because Jesus has said the right words in his prayer. It's not just because Jesus took the time to pray. It's because God is pleased with Jesus, who loves him in everything that he has and in all that he does. And so through Jesus' prayer, we learn that God wants to affirm and to bless us and to honor us and love us and show us that he is pleased with us. But we need to begin to live a lifestyle that's characterized by intimacy with God, bringing God into our lives so that we can hear him in every situation, but also bringing God into the midst of the lives of others. So friends, today I've shared just a few thoughts with you, and I hope there are one or two things here that will encourage you in your prayer life. Things that will bless you and help you to take that next step of becoming more intimate and more intentional and living with greater mindfulness of what God wants to do in you, through you, and with you. Remember, you only have this one life to live. And as the psalmist says in Psalm 90 verse 12, pray that God would give you the wisdom to number your days so that you can gain a heart of wisdom and live well. And friends, there surely can be nothing more important than living your life constantly as an active prayer in God's presence. Now, remember the illustration we started with. When you live that kind of a life, then it's not about convincing God to do things for you, but it's about gently and carefully responding to the prompting of God's Spirit as you go about your ordinary day. It's about God drawing you into the safety of his harbor so that there you can find sustenance and replenishment and safety and care to do the things that God wants you to do. So how's your prayer life going? I pray that this week and for the next 4 weeks, as I've challenged you, that you'll begin to take your prayer life seriously, that you'll develop intimacy with God, not only to speak, but also to listen. Remember that those that we value, we give the time to speak, and we truly listen. Well, friends, it's been a joy to be with you for this half hour, and you've been listening to Dr. Dion Foster. The program's name is The Ministry and Me. And I want to encourage you, if you really want to get serious about your prayer, why not phone the Radio Pulpit Prayer and Counseling line now and ask someone just to pray with you and cement that before God in prayer. You can do that on 012-334-1200. Let me give you that number again. It's Pretoria 012-334-1200. Or why not drop me a line on email? I'd love to hear from you and hear where you are and what you're doing. And I promise to pray with you if you ask me to do so. So you can drop me an email. My email address is digitaldion@gmail.com. That's digitaldion @gmail.com, or you can follow me on Twitter, and I keep regular updates of these programs and many other things at www.twitter.com/digitaldion. We'll have a truly blessed day. Bye-bye.